Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. So glad you are along with us for our final segment. We want to direct you to our radio website, and that is eradiosports.com. And of course, our next guest, you can find all of his information at jasonpeter.com. It's time for our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We're going to do some NFL news and notes. And Jason, before we get underway, well, we have had some brutal storms that have been just sweeping across the plains. How are you guys doing in Lincoln, Nebraska? Are you and Sarah doing okay?
Yeah, we're good up here. Certainly nothing compared to what Oklahoma had went through a week ago. But there have been, I think they said something like we had 8 confirmed tornadoes that touched down in Nebraska that did some damage or at least took down a barn or did some damage maybe to some crop fields, but nothing comparable to what happened down in Moore, where there's loss of life and everything like that. So I think after you are able to kind of witness or not at least learn about what happened down there in Oklahoma, I think when you're able to, number one, I guess, get through a storm that has tornadoes and knowing the damage that they can do, I think you realize how fortunate I think you are, because you just don't know when or how powerful these things will ever be.
It's been crazy. I mean, Mother Nature has just been wreaking major havoc. So certainly we will just continue with our prayers for healing in the state of Oklahoma. But Jason, let's move forward. Let's talk about some of the things that are happening within the NFL. And I think one of the big storylines and big news this past week, and I know that you're going to be able to identify with this, Rob Gronkowski, once again, he's going to need back surgery. And this is he's only 24 years old, and this is his 7th surgery. That is just way too many surgeries for being at that age.
Yeah. It's part of the culture. I think very rarely do you see guys that are able to get through their first couple seasons without having anything done. But I think the thing when you look at Gronk is he's had 4 surgeries on that one forearm. I know he had one last year, and then it was coming back maybe towards the end of the season, and he re-injured it in that Houston playoff game, and then he had surgery after that, and then there was an infection in the surgery, and now it's back to back surgery. He originally had one when he was a student at the U of A, Arizona. And Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, says this is just a minor surgery, but I can attest, having had back, neck, there is no minor surgery, because if you need something fixed, it's obviously at a point where it's not working properly. And surgery will never have you repaired or to the point that is comparable to when you were healthy prior to surgery. And that's something I think that at least I learned in my experiences was that because I would go into each surgery thinking, oh, I'm going to be fixed to the point that, you know, I'm 17 years old and I don't have anything wrong with my body and I feel great and there are no limitations or no restrictions. I think that's just, it's not the case. You know, maybe if you were able to have surgery and not have to go back to playing in the NFL, and you're able to avoid any type of major contact. And I think that's the thing that you see with some of these guys that are able to come back from surgery and continue being successful. I think there's a large part of it that is just kind of luck. You know, luck that nobody falls on your knee standing around a pile. Luck that... you know, you're whatever the case may be. It's just, I think you got to have a little bit of luck on your side when you're coming back from some of these surgeries. Either that or you're fortunate that you have ownership, let's say like Peyton Manning did in Indianapolis, where they said, you know what, take the year off. You're too valuable to us, and you know, we want you to be healthy, and we want you to play much longer, although they decided that much longer wasn't much longer in Indianapolis. But I just think, you know, with Gronk, I wouldn't say it's worrisome at this point, but I think you got to look at maybe the pattern, and, you know, mostly is around the forearm, and wonder, is there something else that's wrong with that, why that won't heal correctly. You know, we'll see kind of what happens in this new season. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens if he does get hurt again and there is another injury. You know, Gronk is somebody who he likes to live life. And there have been many photos of him, many videos of him out in nightclubs, taking his shirt off, dancing on stage, wrestling
goodness.
With his buddies, wrestling with his brothers. In nightclubs. I mean, he lives life, I guess you could say, to the fullest, at least in his eyes. And if he doesn't come back, or he's not as productive as he once was, you know that they come out. In every city, they'll come out. The naysayers will come out and say, oh, well, the reason he's not playing well, the reason his body's not healing well is because he doesn't take care of himself, and he's out boozing, and he's out hanging with strippers or known porn stars and all this stuff. And you know, they will come out and they will crucify him because of that. Because people, they just, they need to connect the dots somehow. And with Gronk, that's one of those dots that's out there, and people will somehow connect it to his injuries.
Jason, you've had four shoulder, four neck surgeries, lower back. I mean, you've had double-digit surgeries, and you know how difficult it is to make that comeback. You know, obviously rehab, that's where it's all going to take place on how quickly you will return. Do you anticipate that Rob Gronkowski, that he could be back for the Patriots training camp?
I would imagine that he would be back. I don't know if he will be full go.
I mean, you're talking about a back surgery, though. I mean, that's...
I know. You know, there's only one thing in my eyes that's worse than the back, and that's the neck. But the back is no laughing matter either. I mean, I've had back surgery, and I need more surgery on my back. It's something that I wouldn't say it's as black and white as with the neck, because when you talk about the neck, it's you know, doctors, they usually say, all right, this is minor enough where you can continue to play football, or it's this was bad enough where that's it. You know, we're not clearing you. We're not signing off on you. You're liable to end up in a wheelchair if we cleared you to go out and play. With the back, I guess there isn't the risk as much as with paralysis, you know, and I think that's something obviously that I know was a huge part in the decision, not just for me with if I had tried to make an attempt to come back, which I wasn't even given that opportunity because the doctors would not sign off on it because I guess I was in that category, but I also had a brother who had a horrible neck injury where, you know, he was in a halo and, you know, doctors didn't think that he would be able to walk again. But, you know, I think the back is kind of, is that next in line. And it's an injury that it's hard to just kind of suck it up and play through it. You know, I had back spasms in college, and it's to the point, you know, they get to the point where you can't move. For anybody who hasn't had a bad back, they sometimes would listen to somebody complain about having a bad back, and they would think, you know, just kind of suck it up. And it's one of those things, though, that just the slightest bit, you know, just the slightest nerve, you know, infringement, and you got pain that's shooting down your legs, and you really can't sit, you can't stand, you can't do anything. So I don't know the extent of Gronk's back injury, but I do know that he had to have surgery on his back in college, and now he's having surgery again. And whether or not it's the same area, when you're talking about the spine, it's all kind of connected. And you can fix one area, but then the problem is the areas above and below those areas that you fix, they have now more stress on them. And then it's more likely that those areas will then be injured in years to come. You know, and I'm not a doctor, but I've been through enough neck and back surgeries to know kind of the process there.
You know, it's interesting, though, Jason. Let me jump in here. You know, you're talking about back and neck surgeries and the process and the healing process. I would assume that makes you have a sincere appreciation for a player in the NFL like Adrian Peterson. I mean, of course, coming back, you know, from an ACL injury, but just how quickly he was able to get his game back up to par and return.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy what AP has been able to do. And I'm sure that he is, he's done tremendous business for James Andrews. Not that he needed any more help down there with his practice, but to be able to have a guy like that be able to come back in 8 months and go out and win MVP, Offensive Player of the Year.
You ever heard of anything like that? My goodness.
No, but now you have every player that wants to fit into that box. You have an RG3 now that's talking about how, you know, he's going to be out there on week one, and I think it's great to have those goals. I think, you know, to have something, that carrot dangling in front of you during those long hours of rehab, and you need something to kind of push you through the times when there's no camera on you and nobody's watching you and nobody's sitting there saying, come on, RG3, come on, you know, let's do it, yeah. You know, nobody's there screaming and hollering when you're just trying to get your range of motion back in your knee after having knee surgery. And these are things, I think, you know, players, they will sometimes, I think, say stuff, whether it kind of holds them accountable or just helps them strive towards that goal. I think that's, you know, probably part of RG3 saying, I want to be out there on week one. You know, the other part is also, I think, he sees what Adrian Peterson did and said, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. you know, that's kind of, I think, a mentality that a lot of pro athletes have.
Hey, us Sooners, we know how to get back on track, don't we, Jay?
Yeah, you do.
Hey, Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, our segment each and every week. We appreciate so much our good friends and folks at Mercer Well Service. Thank you so much for sponsoring this segment. And Jay, now you were telling me before we got underway, the SEC, of course, is having its annual spring meetings. And what are some of the points of emphasis that the coaches are kind of going over? What is their agenda and things that they want to accomplish?
Well, it seems like they're dealing with this topic every year, but it's the constant jabs that they take at each other, the head coaches in the media, that they would like to eliminate that they feel like it's not doing the conference any good. I actually disagree. Number one, you're not going to be able to get those guys to not do it. I mean, that's like saying a fat kid will never eat a Twinkie again or a candy bar for the rest of his life. It's just not possible. It's in their bones down there in SEC country to talk trash about the competitor or the guy that's in their conference or the guy that's the crosstown rival. It's just part of the SEC, and I find it entertaining. I find it entertaining as long as you can back it up. And, you know, most of those guys down there can back it up. I think certainly there are times maybe when they cross the line, but I also think that lots of these one-liners that come out or the jabs that they take, a lot of it is being done at these big donor, booster type luncheons, and they have, you know, the coach that comes and rubs elbows and shakes hands with these guys, and they get up and they talk for 10, 15 minutes, and they'll tell stories, and they'll take a shot at Nick Saban or at Will Muschamp or whoever it may be. And I think it's you could do that stuff back in the day or 10 years ago, and you didn't have to worry about guys posting it to Twitter, or maybe somebody's got a recorder in there and they're recording the whole thing. And I think that part of it, I think that stinks, that these guys can't go and tell a joke now and then without it then becoming national news. It's just, I think it would be great to have a sense of humor or a platform like that and to be able, you know, some of these guys provide them with such easy material that if they didn't make a joke about some of their competitors, I think you'd think there's something wrong with them. I just, to me, I've been in kind of those rooms before. I've seen, you know, Coach Osborne. I've seen my old defensive coordinator, Charlie McBride, who's just a guy that if you're out at night and he was in a bar, he's the guy you want to go to because he's got stories about the you-know-what, and they'll just make you laugh. But if he went up there and talked about those stories now, chances are he'd be crucified, and it's a shame because those are the best stories. Sometimes they're at other people's expense, but you don't really expect them to hear about it. Well, now it's a different story, but I just think that's what makes the SEC so intriguing, is that you have these guys and they just continue to throw knives at one another. But you know what, when they go out on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, 9 out of 10 times they're backing it up, and if they don't back it up, usually they're gone. And I think that's what I like about the SEC. It is so cutthroat.
What about the Big Ten? Do you hear that now, that being a part of that?
No, usually the Big Ten is the butt of the joke. I'm sure that those guys in the SEC usually have some punchlines that have Big Ten schools included in it. And what can you do? There just hasn't been great football out here. I don't know. I'm sure that the Big Ten wouldn't like. I know that the Delaney, the commissioner, is maybe pushing for schools not to be able to play those non-BCS schools in the preseason. And I'm sure that there's a bunch of coaches that hope it doesn't go that way, because even some of the bad schools in the Big Ten, they need somebody to beat up on. And if you do away with some of those formerly 1AA schools, I don't know who they're going to get to beat up on. But it's not the brightest years for the Big Ten out here. So there's not as much. Maybe there is trash talking going on, but nobody really cares. Maybe nobody's tweeting it out because it's just not that big of a deal. I don't know.
Hey, Jason, we're getting ready to wrap it up. In fact, speaking of Big Ten, who do you guys open up with this year with Nebraska?
Oh, wow. You caught me off guard.
Did I? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wyoming, I believe.
Oh, it is. Okay. I was thinking perhaps maybe it was an SEC school or, you know, a big name school opening things up. So we're looking forward to TCU and LSU out here at Cowboys Stadium to open up the season. That's going to be fun.
That's
going to be a great game.
Up with right there.
Mm-hmm.
TCU and Gary Patterson and the job that he's done, he will give LSU everything that they can handle. And it may be too much for what LSU can handle. You know, sometimes LSU hasn't been the most prepared school, I think. I think they have certainly the elite athlete, the elite player down there, but I don't know if sometimes they have the best focus. And Gary Patterson will take full advantage of that, and he will have those guys ready to play.
Very well said. Jason, we look forward to catching up with you next week with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. You take care. We'll talk next week, okay?
You too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.